Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Band? Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, and Mitchell Robinson, Michigan State, my brother from another mother, Electablog, Virginia. Mitchell, during the break, though, we're just thinking about this and, you know, the teaser line coming in there, critical race theory, Howard Zinn, banned. We're thinking about that, right? It's like, that's out there. And so I'm thinking about, the Democrats have no offense. Let's use football now for the metaphor here. They have no offense by going after the fact that what's being promoted by Republicans, you say, okay, they have nothing. But what they are promoting is, you know, banning truth, doing away with understanding diversity, doing away with equity, doing away with history. The fact that you don't have an offensive alternative to that, and in fact, a really crappy defense, that for me is the epitome of why Democrats lose.
Right, but I think our special teams might be able to come in here and save the day.
Okay.
I think the offensive problem, again, goes back to a poor messaging effort. The one thing I will give Republicans is they are good at messaging, and they stay on message 100% of the time. It's easy when your message is three letters. It's not hard to forget. But the message for the Democrats has to be that we need to have grown-up conversations in this country about race. We need to be able to talk about race with our children. We need to be able to talk about race with other people that we work with our family members. You know, for years, whenever we go home for the holidays, what do we all tell each other? I'm not going to talk about race. I'm not going to talk about politics. I'm not going to talk about sex. We need to talk about race and politics. I'll leave the other one out for now. But we aren't having adult conversations about race. And that's what, I mean, the whole CRT issue, the Virginia election was not about education. It was about giving cover to racism and white supremacy. It was about making those nice white parents in Northern Virginia not feel bad about voting for a Republican. That's what it was about. And interestingly, Axios came out with a poll today. Around 90% of Americans are very happy or happy with the way their public schools have handled things during the pandemic. You don't hear that kind of thing. Yeah. You don't hear
no, that. Actually. I did see that. In fact, I think that's one of the things to point out is that for all of the, quote, disdain for public schools, and especially during the pandemic, in fact, public opinion is that my schools did a pretty darn good job of dealing with the disaster.
There is the NIMBY issue, right? Not in my backyard. If you survey parents, they'll say that the schools where their kids go are really good. The problem is with those other schools. And in most places, other schools is code for urban schools, which is where black and brown children and families live. So we're kind of letting Republicans have a lot of code words here without pushing back. And then if you see any of the kind of third way or Republican light rhetoric online right now, it's about we really shouldn't talk about race until we win a couple of elections. And I think that's just absolutely horrid advice. If we're not talking about these issues, we're losing ground every day.
We're losing students. We're losing the ability, you know, to push back on this. And in fact, I was working with some teacher educators over the weekend, and we were talking about this. Johnny, I know this is something you think about too. You know, at what point? You know, as we and Mitchell, so all three of us in teacher education, the reality of the attack on the ability to teach and learn is fully in front of us. It's not even being hidden. It's right there, right in front of us. As we are talking, do we tell future teachers that, look, as you head out there, as you're about to go out there, understand that everything we've taught you about being critical, about looking deeply, about understanding, about empathy, about caring, about dealing with diversity, dealing with inequities. If you do that, you're going to be attacked. Johnny Lupinacci.
Yeah, I think, Tim, you're onto it. I mean, I like where this discussion is going. It's really prompted me to think. And I think that's an important thing, not to overplay on that word, that we're brought to being thoughtful about what it means to invest in democratic communities. And it brings us back to this idea of what can anybody who's taking up political office do to make decisions in the interest of a major matter of national security, our public education system, right? And so I like hearing what Mitchell brings to the table on this. Tim, I like your takes on it. And it's really getting me to think tonight, because too often, I think even myself, someone who's highly political, defaults to autopilot on the party system and hoping that one or the other is going to show up for education. And so I think that kind of hope is expired, and we want action. And so for me, regardless of across political parties, I want to see that action, and I want people to show up for public education, because our democracy is on life support, and we want to get the democracy out of the ICU and at least in critical care for a little while. And I don't think either party seems to want it out of ICU. And Mitchell amplified this. I think it's in corporations' best interests for our democracy to be weakened, right?
There's not a lot of money to be made by being an activist and advocate for public education. There's a boatload of money to be made by selling it to the lowest bidder, by breaking it up for parts, kind of like what Romney did with all the steel plants. You know, so if we could take all these schools and just, you know, break them up into little component parts and sell them off to bidders, we can make a lot of money there. Pearson makes a lot of money with standardized testing. There's a lot of money to be made on the backs of our children and our teachers, but it's not going to be made by supporting public institutions and by supporting a profession that's largely women. So I don't think we can underestimate the power of racism here, the power of misogyny, the power of sexism. All these are contributing factors here.
Excellent. Yeah, I appreciate that. That hits the nail right on the head and doesn't pull any punches, right? If we really care about social justice and equity, then we make very different decisions and supporting our public schools. Bottom line, I appreciate that. We don't even need to dance around it.
Hey, we got Tom, L.A. Tom on the line. L.A. Tom, what is happening, man? Drop some truth on us, L.A. Tom.
Hey, buddy. First off, we the people are the government, and we must never forget that. At the end of the day, it's us, we the people. Second, it just seems to me that a basic function of trust, whether it's trust in business, whether it's trust in neighbors, whether it's trust everywhere, has been broken down. And nobody can trust anybody anymore on anything. So I would say that's one real big issue, and whether that's even in education, it's like you have fights between, you know, administrators and teachers even. I mean, it's crazy. But I think also when it comes to the messaging, I mean, I'll just give you an example, and I'm not saying Bill Clinton was the greatest president or anything like that, but you know what? I knew that he said that there'd be internet in every classroom in the United States, that there'd be 100,000 more policemen on the street. I mean, he picks like three different things, and he just hammered home with the message. And then he had Paul Begala and also the guy I don't care for anymore, you know, that were his messengers. And it is about messaging, but the difference is the Democrats on our side, we have the message, and it's the truth. It's the Republicans that are lying to people, you know, about everything under the sun, including horse dewormer, and they are saying it with such gusto and belief and right and wrong, but people believe them. And Democrats want to, I mean, I'll give you an example. I have to throw this out as an example, but you look at, you know, Aaron Rodgers said in that interview on that podcast or whatever, he said, oh, let's have a discussion about this. The house is burning down. There is no time to have a discussion about this stuff. So Aaron Rodgers, seriously, I swear to God, he was speaking like a professor liberal in some of the schools or the stereotypical liberal that sits around and just talks and talks and talks about things and let's discuss it. No, let's move to action. So sick of this inaction and getting screwed over by big money in politics and the lobbyists and everyone else. And then that basic trust is missing from everything. So anyway, I'm venting a little bit here tonight, but I'll tell you what, I mean, it just seems to me, my dad was a teacher for 40 years and my brothers and sisters are all teachers back in Wisconsin. And, you know, teaching and education seem to have fallen by the wayside when Scott Walker did Act 10. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. I think there's a basic trust that's really missing in our whole country, in our society.
Well, L.A. Tom, I appreciate the call. We love you listening all the way out there in California. We really appreciate it. Mitchell Robinson, response for L.A. Tom.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree with anything that you said. I do think that the majority of communities in this country actually do support teachers and do support the schools. But I think that it's a lot easier message on the right to just talk about everything burning down and never come up with any positive solution. So I'd like to ask those nice white parents in Northern Virginia who voted for Youngkin what policies he's going to pass that are going to make their kids' education better. What policies is Youngkin going to pass that's going to put more money in schools? The only thing that I see right now that's putting money in schools is CARES dollars, and that comes out of this administration. So there's a disconnect between what voters in Virginia said that they wanted and the party that they voted for to give them those things. They're not going to get what they want by voting for who they voted for.
You know, that point right there, Mitchell, I appreciate it. And first of all, Mitchell Robinson, my brother from another mother, Michigan State, music educator, associate professor, elected blog author. Thank you for your time tonight as we're coming through this. There's so much more to say. Johnny and I are going to break this down. I especially want to break down that fact, Johnny, that where Mitchell left us with. I mean, the fact is that Republicans won by offering nothing to public education. Mitchell, that's the truth bomb right there. The fact that Republicans beat Democrats and are offering nothing to public education, except what they are offering, though, is the ability to be overtly racist. I'm going to be on, you know, the fact is that to be overtly racist. Busted pencils, Mitchell Robinson, thank you so much, my friend. We will talk again soon. Back after the break.
What if I never did believe? Would it be wrong if I decided I should leave?